Well, it's very good to see everybody out with us this morning. Thank you so much for being here. We're going to continue on this morning considering some of the very short letters that we find in the New Testament, the ones addressed typically to individual or a small number of individuals. And that's what we're also going to see in the sermon this morning as we begin to consider 3 John. Now, Lord willing, we're going to talk about it this morning, and we're also going to talk about it tonight as well. Now, we're going to turn over there in just a second, and we're going to read about half of that letter, but I do want to state a few things here. What we're going to focus on this morning is fellowship and support, and it was interesting to me, and perhaps telling, that as I was thinking about the content of this letter, particularly the first half of it, it occurred to me, as I thought about the sermons that I have been preaching or have preached throughout my time preaching, about 17 years, the classes that I've taught, the studies that I've had, I have never preached on this topic, at least from the perspective we're going to talk about it today, at least not that I can remember or could find in my records. And interestingly enough, I could not think of hearing a sermon on this specific topic or a class that dealt with this specific topic. But it's contained in one of the letters and a major theme in it, so it must be important. And we'll get into it a little bit more as we go. There is some crossover here between 2 and 3 John, where 2 John was addressed to the elect lady and her children. 3 John is addressed to a beloved Christian. His name is Gaius. It also comes from one calling himself the elder. And he felt that was all he had to put to let the individual know who he was. I assume this was the Apostle John. It is, as I said in the previous sermon, beyond the scope of these lessons to really get into that and attempt to prove it. But we can talk about it later if you are inclined to do so. I mentioned there is some crossover, where we spend a fair amount of time in 2 John talking about its message of love and its message of the need to walk in the truth. We do find some of that in 3 John, but we're not going to repeat it. We already walked that path, and though it's important to remember and keep in mind, I don't want to go over it again in this sermon, because there are two other topics, two other issues, concerns that John wants to deal with in this very short letter. We're going to consider the first of the two this morning, Lord willing, the second tonight. The first is this: supporting traveling preachers. Tonight, Lord willing, we're going to deal with a problem that has arisen within this particular church dealing with one problem individual. But this morning, let's talk about what John focuses so much time on, supporting traveling preachers. If you haven't already turned over there, let's go ahead and turn now to 3 John. And we're going to read the first 8 verses, and then verse 12. 3 John verses 1 through 8, and then verse 12. This is what it says: "The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you, and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul." Now, that's an interesting statement. I don't want to spend time in it. It deals with really walking in the truth. But imagine if your physical health was directly related to the strength of your spirit or your spiritual health. That's what he's saying here. What an interesting thought. Verse 3. "For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth. as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, for they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. Verse 12. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. So at that time, we're dealing with traveling preachers. So these are Christians, they are teachers. And they are going out to places where folks do not know them, and they are attempting to preach the gospel to them, to teach them. It appears as though what we're dealing with here is primarily a case of Christian Jewish people going out and preaching to Gentiles. I think what John says here makes that pretty clear. So John knows these individuals. And John is willing to say they are doing well. You ought to think about people like this. You ought to hold them in high esteem. You ought to support them in their work. And what he's describing here is an act of faith and love. I want you to think again about verse 5 in the first part of verse 7. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, for they have gone out for the sake of the name. What I'm going to do in the sermon this morning is apply this primarily to the need, and it is a need, to support foreign work. And in doing that, in supporting foreign work, there is a recognition that the cross has removed, in a literal, very real sense, has removed all borders as it relates to spiritual matters. I want you to consider these passages with me. The first one is right there in the Great Commission, as Jesus is speaking to his apostles. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, it took a while as we go throughout the early church history. We go throughout Acts. We go throughout some of the epistles. And we're able to see it took a little while for that to really sink in among Christians, to really recognize the borders now, the things that have separated us, they're gone now. And perhaps no Christian grasped that more thoroughly or more deeply than the Apostle Paul. He makes an incredible statement, particularly when you consider the time in which he made it. Over in Galatians 3, 27 through 29, he says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise." One of the things that I think becomes evident as we just give it a little thought, though we have lived with these truths and they have been within the world for a long time now, it's not always much easier for modern Christians to grasp this than it was for those Christians at that time. I want you to think about that statement. There is neither Jew nor Greek. He wasn't saying that in a physical sense there weren't Jews or Greeks. Of course there were. What he was saying is this: as far as Christians are concerned, it doesn't matter anymore.
We're all one spiritually in Christ. He wasn't saying there's no such thing as a male or a female physically from this point on. That's not the point at all. He is saying that as far as it relates to being in the family of Christ, it doesn't matter if one is a male or a female. They are on equal standing in the Lord's family. That's the point that he's making there. Slave or free, it's all the same sort of idea. I think the easy thing to do when we think about those overseas, those far away from us, even sometimes not even meaning to do this, they are the other, aren't they? They're just the other. A lot of these people, they don't have iPhones, they don't have computers. We're never going to see them on Facebook. We're never going to see them on Twitter. They're just way out there somewhere, and maybe, perhaps without even really meaning to think this way, they're just not that important. The Lord certainly doesn't think that way. He doesn't think that way at all. We have to understand that when we support foreign work, we are affirming a truth that Jesus made in the Great Commission, that Paul is making here in Galatians. The gospel needs to be preached to all nations. And yes, we can reach over to that person that lives on our neighbor over here, and we can reach over to our neighbor over here, and maybe the ones across the street, and the people who work on the same line as us at our workplace. But what about that person overseas? You can't get to that person, but they're still a soul, right? They still need the gospel as much as our neighbor does or our coworker does. And when there is somebody who's able to go over there and do that work, it's every bit as important. The gospel is every bit as needed there as it is here. Borders are gone now from a spiritual perspective. We have to grasp that and we have to get it. To support foreign work is also to play a very vital role within a partnership. In verses 7 and 8, John says, "For they have gone out," he's talking about these traveling preachers, "for they have gone out for the sake of the name of course is the name of Christ, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these that we may be fellow workers for the truth." Now think about that. I'm not actually the one over there doing the work. And I'm not actually standing right next to that person, literally, who has gone off to do the work. And yet John says, as we support these folks, we are fellow workers with them. And this isn't the only time we see this sort of idea. Going back to Paul again. In Philippians 1, verses 3 through 5, he says, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy." Well, why, Paul? Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. In a few minutes, we're going to look at a later passage in Philippians, and we're going to see precisely what that partnership was. It was support, giving to Paul as he was there doing his work. And I think what we need to do, and what would be good for all of us to do, is work to really get this into our minds so that we can recognize ourselves as partners with someone who may be 2,000 miles away from us, who may be in a completely different country, speaking a completely different language, speaking to a completely different people, and yet if it is the gospel being preached, the one preaching it is a brother. And if it is the gospel being preached, and we are helping the one who is doing it, helping through prayer, helping through actual support, we truly have entered into a partnership. And we truly are helping that work. We're going to talk about that in a few more minutes in more detail as we kind of get to the more practical aspect of this But as I said, we'll get there in a moment. I do want to make one more point from this first section. Supporting foreign work is to gain a good testimony before both God and fellow saints. In verses 3 and 6, John said this, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. Who testified to your love before the church, you will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. Who are these brothers who came and testified to their truth and to their love? Who are they? They're these traveling preachers who have met Gaius and those other good brethren at whatever congregation they were a part of. And have come back to John and said, you know what, those brethren there, they helped us. And they were walking in the truth. It just refreshed our soul. And now we even know more individuals within the family of God. They came back to John and they gave that testimony. And here's the thing, even if we never meet that brother again, or perhaps have never met him at all, and even if we never meet any Christian who comes to Christ as a result of that work way over there, some 2,000 miles away, beloved, we're going to meet him in heaven. We're going to meet him in heaven. And while we may never meet that traveling preacher and he can grasp our hand or hug our neck as well, couldn't do that now anyway, but back when we could do those things, we